Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Dear Lord, you promise that whenever your word goes forth, it will not return empty without accomplishing that for which you sent it forth. Keep your promise this morning in our chapel. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. By my count, there's 9 days left until graduation. I think that's the real count. Sometimes my count's not the real count, but I think it is this time. I looked this morning to make sure. And graduations are bittersweet, aren't they? If you're a senior and you're getting ready to graduate, you might have been so busy to notice this, but next week it will begin to dawn on you that it is bittersweet. Sweet because you're finally finished with school, and a lot of people sense that relief after the finals are over, and you have the sense that you've passed them, and you're going to be finished on Friday, and you'll be graduated and ready to start your new job. And so, well, that might be the bitter part, I don't know, but bittersweet. Actually, what I mean by bitter is the saying goodbye to all the friends. Some people will be moving clear across the country away from your friends. And I know there's texting and you can stay in touch that way, but it's not the same as being there, is it? Saying goodbye can be hard, it can be difficult, and sometimes it leaves us grieving. And that is what the disciples were feeling in our lesson for this morning. Jesus has told them that he is leaving, and they are very sad. And in their sorrow, I don't know if they're stunned or what, but they seem to be thinking of themselves. And they haven't even asked Jesus, well, what is all this? What's going on? Where are you going? What are you going to be doing? What's going on? And who's this helper you're going to send? Let's listen into our text this morning. John chapter 16. You'll see what I mean by what Jesus says. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Here ends our lesson in the Word of God for this morning. Now, normally, when adults pack up and move to someplace new, they move in their own self-interest, right? They're moving because they found a better job someplace else. Or they want to move to be closer with relatives or for some other reason. But generally, it's in their own self-interest to move. But here Jesus says that it is in his disciples' best interest if he leave. Listen, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Don't you suppose the disciples had a hard time believing that? I can just picture in my mind what they're thinking. They're thinking, Lord, we gave everything up to follow you, and we've been following you for 3 years, and now you're leaving? You're just going to leave us? What about us? I think that's what they're thinking. But what about me? You're going to send somebody else? But if we fast forward a few years, go to the book of Acts and read through the book of Acts, you'll see that it turned out exactly as Jesus said. It was to their benefit that he go away. Now, how is that? Well, first of all, when Jesus says that he's going away, He means a series of events that will unfold over the next 40-some days. First, the very week that he is saying this happens to be Holy Week, and Good Friday is coming. And remember what he said then on the cross? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So that's the first thing he means when he says he's going to be with his Father. He's got to go through the cross first. And that benefits the disciples because a group of self-centered guys needs to have their sins taken away. And that's exactly what Jesus does on the cross. When he was nailed to the cross, so were their sins. But then Jesus goes on to say this, "If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go away, I will send him to you." By the way, you know what else Jesus said about the Helper, whom, of course, is the Holy Spirit? He said this about the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit would come. He said to the disciples, "When he comes, he will bring to your remembrance the things that I have said." And that happened. And they wrote it down, or had someone else write it down for them. And it is contained in the New Testament now. And that is why, because of that very promise that Jesus made, that we believe and we can trust that the New Testament is the Word of God. Because of that promise. But now back to this passage. We have proof that what Jesus told the disciples is true. And I mentioned it already. If you flip a few chapters, this is chapter 16 of the book of John, flip just a few more chapters and get into the book of Acts, and you'll see in chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit came indeed on Pentecost. And after that moment, the difference is like night and day in these disciples. You know what they were like on Good Friday? You know what the Bible says about these men whom Jesus is talking to? It says that on Good Friday, when they came, the soldiers came and got Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and led him away to crucify him. It says they all forsook him and fled. They're cowards. They're acting again in their own self-interest, aren't they? That's what they think about. After Pentecost, what a difference. After Pentecost, they stand up to the very Sanhedrin that tried Jesus. After Pentecost, they're on a mission from God. After they have received the Holy Spirit, they're able to go out and preach to all the world, take the gospel to the nations, and it cost most of them their lives. But they were cowards no more. And I wonder if there might be a word of application here for somebody like you and me. I think there is. First of all, you are in need of forgiveness, and so am I. If the disciples needed their sins to be washed away, surely I do. And for the very same sin. Jesus says he's going away, and they're thinking, but what about me? They're not asking him about the details of his going away. Thinking of every detail of life in terms of how it affects me, why, that's the very definition of self-centered, isn't it? Thankfully, Jesus was the opposite of self-centered. He was you-centered. It was for you that he came to this world, and it was for you that he went to the cross and died. And when he was nailed to the cross, your sins were nailed to that cross. And they were taken away. He washed them all away with his blood and with his pain so that you are clean. And a second application. If you have been baptized, you have received the same Helper that these men did. You have the same Holy Spirit that they did. And you too have a mission from God. And so here is something to say to yourself when you go away to your summer job or to your permanent job or when you're standing in the grocery line or wherever you are, to say to yourself this simple sentence, Because this is your mission. Wherever I am, there is a Christian. There may not be another one, but there is at least one wherever I am. There's a Christian. And when you are alone, and perhaps you will stand alone as the only professing Christian someday, remember the Helper. Because He is not only there with you, He is actually in you. And you have inside of you a resource that is more powerful than you can imagine. And He can take cowards and turn them into heroes. Surely He can work in you. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Would you please bow your head with me? Give to us, O Lord, we ask, for we are weak, an increase in the fruit of your Holy Spirit. Work in our hearts so that we will not doubt even for a moment that we belong to you and that you are at work within us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.